IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
And Merry Christmas to you all, and Happy New Year, and Happy Holidays, and Happy Hanukkah.
We'll be talking to them a lot before Happy New Year.
Happy everything, right?
It is really a wonderful time of year, or a terrible time of year, depending on which day it is, right? There's so many people to take care of, so many things to do, so many places to go. We have kind of a hilarious little story to start out with today about
what
Christmas.
What is it?
Yes,
what
we do.
What is it? I don't even
Yesterday,
know.
Yesterday, we thought we were going to a wedding tomorrow in Salt Lake City.
Our Bulgarian daughter,
Eva.
Eva, who many of you know.
Many of you know.
She's a noted artist, and she has a son named Ian, and his wedding was tomorrow, and we had it on our calendars for months.
Along with their...
And we thought it was right here in the valley where we live.
And yesterday... I just realized that it says St. George. So,
which is 4.5 hours away.
Right. So, or five. And we just about died because we have so many things going. We just had cleared out the middle of the day.
Well, we just,
for that.
So we just reacted. You should never react.
We should never react
in a case like that.
Yeah.
We called her and we were so sorry. We're not going to be able to make it, Eva. We just jammed in and we didn't know that it was down there. And we don't have 10 hours to drive down and back. And
we should never have said that.
Oh, boy, no, because she started to cry. And then I looked at you, honey, and you were crying.
I was crying.
Like,
it's like, no, we have to be there.
Not a time for logic or analysis. Right. We have to go.
We have to be there.
So we just did some restructuring, and we're going in just a few minutes when we're done here recording. And we feel completely like it's crazy, but we also feel good.
Completely happy about it. We love that family so much. She came to us as a teenager. Our daughter brought her home from Bulgaria. She went off. She went to Ricks and then changed to the University of Utah and graduated. Then went off with her husband to Oxford to school with a little Kodak camera saying, I'm going to become a photographer.
And we're like, good luck.
He said, oh, good luck, honey. We knew she was, you know, she was gifted, very artistic and so on. But this girl exploded. She has done so much beautiful art, and she is such a wonderful speaker. She's speaking all over the church, all over Canada, as well as the U.S. and Australia. I mean, she's just really done amazing things.
And we're doing a book with Eva and her brilliant husband, Adam, where they're doing the layout and the editing and all the illustration, and we're putting our essays in there, and Adam added an essay of his own that's beautiful. And it's just, they're like, oh, it's fun. And when you're working with your kids, and we certainly consider them our kids, it just makes life great. It's not always possible.
I'm so sorry that we wrote to them before we thought that through, because we
called them before we were
of
there.
Of course we can come. We'll be there.
Anyway. Well, Adam's like me. I told Adam first, and he's like, well, we understand. That's logical. And I said, we'll send down a gift. And he was all good. And then we called Eva, and then took over. Emotions took over.
We're
which
like,
was
we
good.
We're going to be there. So anyway, we are going to do it. And it's probably going to be the highlight of our Christmas season.
Probably so. Now this morning we just rushed in from having a delightful breakfast with two of our best and oldest friends. I mean, old friendships. I'm not talking about, certainly we're not old.
No.
They're a little older than we are.
But we love them so much, and we had such a good talk. It's just good, especially during the holidays, to take some time and kick back and relax and talk to friends and catch up and so on. It's just so hard to do with so many people to take care of. But
some of you younger listeners, you don't know what a real friendship is till you've been friends with someone for like 60 years. But anyway, what reason I bring that up, honey, is that Sarah, who we were with today, said, I'm surprised when we see her, our good friends that listen to IRS on the Road all the time, because we're like, you already know everything we've got to say. But she said, well, I've been listening, and I know you're on to you know, how to live the second half socially. And you're going to be talking this week about your relationship with yourself, and you're probably going to get into your thing, Rick, about you got to slow down and you know, be aware and be within yourself and the speed of going slow and all that. And she said, don't you say that around Christmas time. We can't do it. It's impossible to slow
Don't
down.
Don't you dare say
right
that.
Right now, we're just going from one thing to the other. So guess what we're going to talk about today? Slowing down.
Well, more than just slowing down, but just thinking a little more inside of ourselves and really having a good relationship with ourselves. You know, I spent the day yesterday feeling so dumb that I didn't look at that wedding invitation. I just didn't look at it. We've been gone. We've done two trips since we got that.
You're harder on yourself than you are on anyone.
And our daughter texted and said, are you going down to Eva's to the wedding tomorrow in St. George? And I went, where? Anyway, I just couldn't believe I missed that. I was just so stupefied.
Well, actually, that's it's a good place to start today, honey, because you have always, I mean, let's be honest, you are kind of a perfectionist in some ways. And you know, we've probably given 5,000 speeches in our career, who knows how many, but I don't think there's been more than one or two when afterwards you didn't say, oh, gee, I wish I'd said this, or why did I say this that way? And it's this second guessing, and I'm just on to the next, you know. And
absolutely.
But I want to compliment you, because I think in recent years, you've got that big rock that sits on your desk that just says on it, whatever. That's
right.
The motto.
Right.
And you have really succeeded. And there's nothing harder than changing yourself. And you have succeeded, I think, in saying, hey, I did the best I could, and whatever it was, whether it was a speech or this or that, or being with this person or doing that thing, it's never going to look perfect to you looking back, because you are a perfectionist in a way, but you've gotten good at letting it roll off.
Well,
and saying,
until yesterday
you had a little relapse.
Certainly.
Yeah, a little relapse, and you were beating yourself up. And it is interesting that we sometimes, and you're a good example of this, we're harder on ourselves than we are on anyone.
Yeah.
We say some things to ourselves, like you just did. You were calling yourself stupid all day yesterday. You'd never say that to anyone else. Yet we say it to ourselves sometimes. Well, you should have seen that look. She said, and she looked right at me.
Well, it really is important to have a good relationship with yourself. And if you get down on yourself, it doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't do you any good, your self-image any good, the people around you any good, because you become very irritable. And it really is good to think, okay, I just did the best I could.
Now, what do we really mean when we say relationship with self? I mean, earlier this month, we talked about relationships within a family, and we talked about relationships with friends, and those are all challenging, but we know what we're talking. I mean, we know, you know, you understand the subject matter, or you know what the point of it is. But when you say a relationship with yourself, what do you really mean by that? And each of you might sort of answer that in your own mind, but we had a little thing happen right here where we're sitting in our kitchen. We had, and some of you have already seen this because we posted it on the HTL Second Half Instagram. We had our lovely 18-year-old granddaughter, Elsie, who's on winter break between her semesters at Columbia University in New York. And she had 3 days, and she chose to come and spend it with her grandparents, which we thought was pretty special. And
I'm not sure she chose it or whether her parents just sent a ticket.
Yeah, well, let's not even ask that question. And so anyway, one of the things we said, we were driving along in the car, and when we are with our grandkids, we got a lot of questions. They better be ready for, you know, because we're interrogating. We want to know everything about their lives. And one of the questions was, who's your best friend, Elsie? And she thought for a minute and she said, myself. And she said it in a very sort of reflective, thoughtful way. And we talked more about it. And she said, you know, I just really enjoy being with myself. It's interesting that she didn't say, I just really enjoy being alone. She said, I just am a person who really enjoys being with myself. And I thought, wow, you're 18 and I can learn something from that. I mean, that's exactly what we're trying to get at, is that we should try to know ourselves well enough and accept ourselves, Linda, with all of our flaws. We should accept ourselves to the point where we're comfortable
I
when we're
think
with ourselves.
learned a lot about her in these few days. We've nearly not had our grandchildren with us for several days, one-on-one, because there's so many of them. But she said, I was asking her about her roommate, and she at first was a little bit muffled by it, didn't know what to do because this roommate was so quiet and off by herself. And I said, how are things going? She said, she's the perfect roommate
For me,
for
because we
me.
both like
We
our
like
solitude.
being alone. And she comes in, she's very neat and very organized, and she tells me, you know, sometimes where she's going, and that's about it. And she's not interested in, you know, a lot of chit chat. And besides that, I haven't told you this, she goes by all pronouns. I said, well, wait, what do you mean? She's so nice. We can go by he, she, he, they, them, anything. She's
She's
nice.
very inclusive in
Yeah,
her
she's
thinking.
very sweet. So it's a different world out there, folks, for these young people. It is really amazing.
So let's pursue that thought for a minute. If relationship with self, in an over maybe oversimplified way, but if it means just enjoying being with yourself, being comfortable, then the question, I guess, is, are we ever really by ourselves these days with all our gadgets and all of our electronics and so on? I mean, I remember it used to be that when I had a little time or I was walking somewhere, I would sort of enjoy the solitude and being with myself, so to speak. And now, I mean, you're checking your phone and you're hearing this and you're watching for the, you're so, we're, believe me, I love to be connected. I'm not criticized. I would never be able to survive going back 30 years when I wasn't connected. But there is a downside to it, and it's just what we're talking about today. If we're always connected, literally, to everything, not only all of our friends and all of our associates, but every stock market in the world and every news feed in the world and every, if we're always connected, are we ever really just with ourselves? And that's where getting away and being in nature and doing meditation and not having your phone anywhere within reach is so valuable. Because, I mean, yeah, we can, I mean, you say, well, everyone needs solitude, everyone needs repose, everyone needs rest. And every guru in the world will tell you, you know, you gotta get away from your phone. But we're putting a new slant on it here. We're saying one reason to be without your phone at certain times that you discipline and that you live with is that you are really with yourself.
Right. And I think in the second half, we should really go into the five facets of ourselves and help us think about, how are we with ourselves? You know, how are we? How does that work? Because so often, you know, I just wake up like, what do I have to do today? Who needs me today? Where can I go? What can I be? And I don't often think, what do I need today?
And to answer our friend Sarah from breakfast this morning, maybe Christmas is the best time to talk about slowing down enough to really be with yourself. Because if you can do it in December, you can do it anytime. I
For
mean,
sure.
maybe you pick the most hassled moments of life and learn that you really can go within yourself a little and take a deep breath and become more aware and more in touch with yourself, even when you're going nuts with all the things you have to do.
Right. So hang with that for a moment. We're going to take a brief break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back talking about ourselves.
Yeah, we're really just talking about ourselves here today, but in a very unique way. Your relationship with yourself, part of this, how to live the second half socially, is it's all relationships in our mind. And this week may seem like a strange time because it's the week before Christmas and there's a whole lot going on, and you may never be by yourself during this week. Literally, physically, you may not, because so much is happening. But maybe that's a really good time to say, even in that rush and chaos, can I be the calm? Can I be, you used to use this metaphor all the time, honey, can I be the eye of the hurricane? Well, everything's right. Going on around me. Not that I'm not part of it, and not that I'm not feeling the pressure, but can I take a breath and sort of slow down a little bit? Because we've all experienced those, and for some, pretty rare days when, for whatever reason, you're relaxed, you're comfortable, you're just feeling pretty good about things for whatever reason. And there's this thing called the speed of going slow. You're driving down the road, you're not in a hurry, but the lights all turn green. You get somewhere faster than you would have if you'd been racing around. And it's not even, can't even explain it. You think of someone you need to call and you call them and they answer the phone, and they usually don't. And there's something about being in a peaceful place inside of yourself that makes the chaotic world navigable.
Yeah. Well, I have, because we're working on this right now, I've been thinking about my five facets of myself. I mean, how am I doing physically? And there's just a lot I can do for myself physically that I haven't been doing because I've been doing so much for everybody else and everything that needs to be done. But physically, I'm kind of a wreck right now. I'm a train wreck. I've had a knee replacement.
You look pretty good for our
week. And now I've got bursitis in my hip because I've been imbalanced, and sciatica across my back because I'm imbalanced. And I finally just decided, we had a little lunch with a couple of my favorite people the other day, and they said, I'll bring you something that'll do. I've been going to physical therapy. So this angel showed up at my door the other day, that just with this, all this great exercises that you can do. I'm not exercising. I'm doing the bike, just running around, getting my knee done. I'm not exercising. I'm not taking care.
Strengthening your core.
Strengthening my core and doing all the things. And as you get older, that can get to be irreparable.
Well, it's interesting you'd say that, honey, because most people, when you say, let's talk about our relationship with ourselves, they're thinking about the mental and the emotional and the spiritual. They're thinking about the inner things, or they assume that that's what we mean when we say relationship with self. But we all know, and the further we get into the second half, the more we know how connected that is to how you're feeling physically.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, self-care is a big word now, but it's a legitimate one, and finding time to do that, and especially for, I don't mean to be gender biased here, but there's a lot of women we know who are so, hey, there's some men too, I won't be exclusive, but people who are so, and you love them, you admire them for it, they're so oriented to service and they're so empathetic, and the one that gets left out all the time is themselves. And the little planner things that we've used for so many years and sold along with our books have these little three lines at the top of the page where, before you start planning your day, all I have to do's, you do the three choose to do's, and one's for your work and one's for, you know, your family and your friends and so on, and one's for yourself. And just asking the question, what's one thing I need today? Not in a hedonistic, not in a, oh, I'm going to the spa, but in a way, what do I really, And so often the answer is, I just need to slow down. I just need to breathe. I just need to take a breath.
And everybody's put together differently. You know, yeah. So, like we have a daughter that cannot go one morning without going to the gym. She cannot, we cannot function. She's kind of 80.
That's how she relaxes.
That's how she gets through the day. She loves it. They love it. And now I have this little exercise plan.
And getting to it is
so hard, but I'm determined we're gonna do it. But it's work for me. It's not joy. It's not fun. It hurts. But I think we just have to realize that there are certain things we need to do to feel good in ourselves as we go with this.
Well, and you know, it's funny how things happen. I've said this before on the show. When you're focused on a certain thing, like we are on this month on how to live the second half socially, it's all these things happen to you that you wonder if you're a magnet for them somehow. Because I was with a British guy the other day, and the British are pretty, there's a lot of sarcasm in their humor, you know.
Always, they have such fun.
And this guy comes up and he slaps me on the shoulder like, you are really slowing down. And it was just like a conversation starter. You know, we're all getting old and so on. But I thought, wow, I mean, if you knew what we were talking about right now on how to live the second half, you just gave me a great compliment. I'm trying to slow down. Yeah. I'm trying to slow down my mind. And then we went to the movies not long ago and saw F1, the movie about Formula One racing. And this the pit boss, you know, they pull the cars in and then they got to change the tires. And how fast they change the tires it might be the biggest factor in who wins the race. And they're pulling in and the guy's behind, and the pit boss, the guy in charge of all these people that come out and change the tires as one, he instead of saying, we got to really hurry here, we got to get this fast, guys, he says, take a breath. And then he says, remember, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I love this part because the car pulls in and bam, bam, bam. Usually it takes 7 to 8 seconds. 2.8 seconds, the car was gone. And no one was hurrying. They were just doing precisely what needed to be done in the perfect sequence in a smooth way.
That is so interesting because
slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
Our grandchildren were talking about favorite quotes. Remember that? I don't remember who it was.
Well, it was Max.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It was Max.
Our oldest grandson. That was his quote.
He comes up with that, and we've never heard, we haven't seen the movie or anything. Like, this kid is amazing.
You're a genius. Write that down, Max. And then we went to the movie. Okay.
So we got it. But he got it. You know,
he remembered it,
and he's really using it.
He understood it, didn't he? So also, in connection with that, we're reading a book. I've gotten into it a little, and Linda hasn't yet, but the title, I mean, if you know what we're working on here, this would be irresistible, right? It's not a new book. It's fairly new, but it's not brand new. The title, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And you can't not be interested in that book if you're thinking along the lines we are. And so I bought it, went through it. And, you know, he's a pastor, by the way. And it's in his own story is interesting because he gave up a mega church. He had one of these mega churches. He was a up and rising sort of charismatic pastor. And he realized he was rushing everywhere and had lost his connection, you know, not only maybe to himself, but to some degree to God. And he just gave it up, decided his life was going to be about following Jesus and helping other people to do it. And I'm really oversimplifying this, but the more he got into it, the more he realized that Jesus never hurried. Jesus always had time. And at first that's depressing. It's like, well, he lived in a different time and you make excuses for yourself, but there's probably never been anyone that should have been under more pressure.
Absolutely.
Constantly,
yeah.
Than Jesus. And yet he had time. He had this powerful gift of the Spirit where things slowed down for him. And it's interesting that even becomes a metaphor in sports now. You know, you'll hear, oh, this guy's really got it now in the NBA. The game has really slowed down for him. It's become easy. The basket looks big. He He's the master. And it's true. Whenever someone is a master of something, they do it slowly. I mean, it looks slow, but it's smooth. It's efficient. They're aware. Their awareness is what gets them through things, you know?
Well, I think it's a good month to just reflect on how you are doing yourself in the five facets. I mean, this is one of the five facets we're talking about, being your relationship with yourself,
And socially, yeah.
but and socially. But I just think it is so good to think, now, how am I doing emotionally? And women, as you know from yesterday, tend to be a little bit more emotional than men. But
Yeah, not always, but yeah, I see your point.
I think we do need to, and because of that blow up yesterday, when I was just so upset that I didn't realize that I was supposed to be someone, I was supposed to be, that's my horror.
And the idea that you would disappoint someone or let someone down makes you sick, literally.
It does, literally, physically. But I just think if we calculate that, how am I doing? We've talked about our relationship with friends being part of ourselves. And it's so important. This conversation this morning at breakfast was so fun. We just caught up with these two, and the husband, great guy, is 85 years old, and he's playing 36 holes of golf.
Well, you shouldn't even say that. We'll discourage everyone. But Linda, I just think some of you listeners are like, please quit saying slow down because it makes me nervous because I can't. And this is the worst time of the year to talk about it. But think of it this way. I mean, picture yourself in the busiest possible environment. You're at a Christmas party. Maybe it's a big family Christmas party. A million things are going on around you. 10 people need to talk to you. It's crazy in there. There's chaos reigns. By the way, that the gift you gave to your friend this morning at breakfast was a plate that said what?
It said
Chaos.
curated chaos.
Oh, if you turn it one way, it's upside down.
You're curated. You've created this. It's beautiful. You're gonna display it. It's gonna be beautiful.
But
But
now
then
it's
you turn the plate
curated.
over and it says chaos.
But you can curate the chaos is I
Right.
think
I think that's what they mean.
so what I'm trying to get to is, picture yourself in that incredibly turmoiled moment and just imagine that you say, I'm going to take, 30 seconds and see where I am. I'm going to observe. Take a couple of really deep breaths, look around, see what's happening, see how many people are in that room that you love. Feel that little wave of gratitude go through you, and then jump right back into the chaos.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And that way you are curating it. You're
You're
saying, you
curating
know,
it.
getting rid of all the excess for just a minute and realizing you love those people that you're with.
And I'm going to be with myself now just for a minute because I like myself, and then I'm going to feel it. And then let's end with this, honey. Even slow, even walking a little slower on purpose, not because you have to for some imperative that you might have, which is sometimes the case with us, but you slow down a little and we have fun with the words because there's so many words for walking, right? I mean, walking is not a good word, but sauntering, moseying, instead of hustling or bustling or da 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 da.
I do have a little bone to pick with you on that.
Yeah,
This
you think I
morning,
walk too
we're
slow.
late for breakfast. We're getting out of the car. We couldn't find a parking place. We were confused. We got it out. We get out, and I get halfway to the door, and you're not even out of the car
I'm
yet. And
sauntering.
then you're sauntering along. And finally, I just got to the point where I can walk fast with my knees.
Yeah, now you want to do it.
And
I
now,
don't blame
come
you.
on, let's go. But
We there's another word we hope we don't get to for the next decade or so, and that's shuffle. We're not
we're not
advocating
doing that.
shuffling.
We're
We're
not doing that.
advocating sauntering or moseying. But
Right.
you get the idea. As a metaphor, try during this busy time to spend a little moment every once in a while with yourself. Maybe you meditate. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe you do it before the chaos descends early in the morning or late at night. But prize those moments because those make up your relationship with yourself.
Right. Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you're having a great Christmas season, and we'll have one more show before the end.
It'll be after Christmas, though, so have a merry Christmas. We'll see you after.
See you soon. Bye-bye.